Good morning, everybody. I wish that Lydia could be here. She can't. She's in the hospital. Have you heard recently, has she moved from the hospital to another facility? Okay, good. Well, I want to start by just saying this is a public service announcement. Lydia recently fell off a ladder and broke some limbs. Almost didn't call 911. Now, I was a chaplain for 12 years in Shelnau, Missouri, for the fire department, saw a lot of things. And what I found that was common among people is their hesitancy to call 911 when they need it. And, you know, especially as we get older, you know, we may even get even more independent. Oh, you know, I'm okay. This is not an emergency. Well, listen, you don't know. As she was laying on the ground, she didn't know what was broken. Todd called me. Hey, can you get over here? I found Lydia on the ground. She fell off a ladder. I said, call 911. He did. Now, I actually went by the Baldwin Fire Department just to check that my understanding is right. If you have an issue, you're not sure, something's going wrong, you know, in your body, you're not sure, call 911. And the fire department will respond. They love to respond. This is part of their gift and their to you. And the ambulance will show up. If you're having a heart issue, they can put, you know, wires on you and see what the deal is. And maybe you don't have to go to the hospital. That's okay. Now, if the ambulance administers some sort of medication, you're going to see that somehow come up in your insurance. But if they just come and they go, it doesn't cost you anything except your taxes. That's what they're for. So please, call 911. Okay? And then I just wanted to welcome Joshy back. We missed you and your whole family. It's good to have you back, buddy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for being so wonderful and so everything. It is so easy to worship you. Lord, we offer your word back to you this morning. Fill us, fill our hearts, change our hearts. Help us, in Jesus' name, amen. So yes, I'm going to be talking about bread today. So first I want to talk to the kids. What is your favorite bread? Think about it. What is it? Bagels, that's a good one. Banana bread. Croissant. These are all great. Anybody else? Pumpkin bread. Yeah. Bagels. How about adults? What's your favorite bread? Cinnamon rolls. Biscuit? Oh, yeah. Banana bread. All right. It is so wonderful. Bread is so staple to our lives. I love pretzel buns on sandwiches. Bread is a strong symbol throughout God's word. You remember that bread was even used in the leaven. It was unleavened bread when God was rescuing the people and from Egypt. There was bread involved in the night before they left. There's bread involved in the worship at the temple. And as you know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. But this morning there's a particularly crummy story I want to get to this morning. But we need to start with Jesus' first lesson on bread. Now, this first lesson came. It's his wonderful miracle. And apart from the resurrection, it is the only miracle where all four Gospels talk about it. Now, you remember, this is the context. The apostles had just returned from their solo flight. Jesus sent them out two by two. They went into the villages preaching the kingdom of God and healing people. Popularity is beginning to rise. Multitudes were thronging. And then the great prophet, the great revival preacher, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, and news was brought to the disciples and to Jesus that he had been executed by Herod. And his disciples, who had just buried his headless body, came to give the news to Jesus. Jesus saw a need to retreat at that moment. So many people, so many demands. There's need for rest. There's need to let down. And so they were on the shore again. They hung around that lake quite a bit, the Sea of Galilee. They were on the shore, and he had the disciples get in the boat. Do you see it? Do you hear the crackle of the gravel? They climb in the boat, they push out to spend some time together on the water. And as they pushed out and start rowing across the sea to spend a few hours by themselves, they saw something. They saw people along the shore trying to follow them. They're not going to swim. They're going to go around. They're seeing, okay, they're going across the shore. And so people begin to follow them. Matthew says they followed on foot. Mark says they ran from all the towns. Some traveled 7 or 8 miles around the lake. And as the disciples looked at the shore, they could see some on crutches. They were lame, some of them. They were sick. Some being carried because they wanted so badly to be close to this amazing person, Jesus. As Jesus' disciples across the lake, they finally made it to the other side, and a crowd was waiting for them. And they just kept coming and kept coming by the thousands. And then Mark says that Jesus had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to heal them, one after another. Hundreds, no doubt. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. This is Jesus' favorite subject, the kingdom of God. He spoke to them, and they were there all day long. Then John tells us of a question that Jesus asked of Philip. Jesus asked him, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat, Philip?" John says he asked this only to test him, because he had already decided what he was going to do. We know that Philip thought this out, and he discussed it with the others, because Luke tells us that all 12 came to him with an answer. They'd even come up with a dollar figure that what it would take to accomplish this task. So Philip answered Jesus, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. All 12 came to him and said, "Send them away, so they can go to surrounding villages in the countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place." They had sized it up. They had looked at their location. They had checked their funds and came to a conclusion. It's too big. They emphatically told Jesus, "Send them away. It's too big. Our group is too small. The need is too large. We are ill-equipped. We don't have the facilities. We don't have enough money. It is impossible. Send them away." That's when he said it. That's when he commanded them, You give them something to eat. Mark tells us that Jesus asked him another question. How many loaves do you have? In order to answer this, they had to survey the crowd. Does anybody have any bread? There's thousands out there. You, anybody have bread? Now the anxiety of the crowd is raised. And Luke tells us that they came back to him, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's all we have. See, only one small Boy Scout had come prepared. Folks, do you know that all Jesus wants is all we have? It doesn't matter how little we think it is. He is able to make up the difference. And he does. Jesus took the loaves. He gave thanks and fed maybe 10,000 people. Now later, Jesus and the men left the crowds and crossed over the lake again. So the next time we see Jesus, the people had found him, and this is John chapter 6. Jesus answered, I tell you, because they're looking for him, I tell you, you're looking for me because you saw miracle signs, but not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. I would have been in that crowd. Lord, I want you to provide me what I need physically now. We need healing. We need to, my bank account is low. I need you to help me now. Jesus says, no, they said to him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said, Sir, from now on, give us this bread. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. I am what you truly need to live. I am what will fill you and sustain you. You're wandering around in the wilderness, starving without me. Jesus went on to tell them later on in this chapter, this bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood is eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Now, on hearing this, the word tells us that many of the disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And they didn't get it. And they left him in droves. Now, it wasn't long after this that in a different area, Jesus feeds thousands more. You remember? And then after this miracle, they're back in the boat again. And Mark tells us of an argument that broke out in the boat. It went something like this. I didn't bring the bread. I thought you were bringing the bread. I wasn't bringing the bread. I thought you were bringing the bread. You mean we don't have any bread? What are we going to do? We don't have any bread. Jesus asked them, right then, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still see? Do you not see? Do you not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for 5,000 men, how many basketfuls and pieces did you pick up? 12. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000 men, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? Nope. Still didn't get it. And now we come to the crummy story. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 21. I want us to go there because sandwiched between these two huge miraculous lessons on bread is this crummy story. So, verse 21, Matthew 15. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Mark tells us he enters a house and did not want anyone to know. He's so famous by this point. They've got to have some time off. Yet they could not keep the secret. See, you can't feed 10,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fish and keep it a secret. Likely after a few days, crowds start gathering again. So now, verse 22. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity. Now stop right there. So, this is the first time Jesus has traveled, other than when he was a child. He traveled outside, just barely outside his own country. So she lives in a different country. She is not Jewish. She's a Gentile. And at some point, her little daughter became demon-possessed, we're going to find out. And we're not told how. We don't know if it's magic arts. We don't know if it's idol worship. We don't know what was going on. But the scripture says in 22, she came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David. Do you hear her crying? Now, I want us to look at what she already came to believe. From this, just this verse, she calls him Lord. She calls Jesus Lord. Now, this is a little amazing, but do you realize in the Gospel of Mark, she is the only person that addressed him directly as Lord? Son of David! She shouldn't have known that title. That's a Jewish title for the coming Messiah. And yet, that's how she addressed him. Have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly with demon possession. She believes he can do something about it. She was desperate. Have you ever been desperate for your family? Now, many of you here know the history of the last 5 or 6 years of my family, and you've prayed. There have been many moments we've been desperate. Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus then did not answer a word. Lord, have mercy on me. Crickets. She's been crying and begging out, help me, please, please, it's my little girl, help me. So the disciples, we're told here in verse 23, came to Jesus and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Is this a favorite phrase of theirs? Send somebody away? And Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And somehow the woman in verse 25 came and knelt before him. Lord, help me. Help me. And Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. What is Jesus doing? Let's face it, these verses are a little disturbing. What's he doing? Is he calling her a dog? Is he seriously intending to withhold his compassion, his mercy, his healing power? And this is how she responded to that remark. Listen. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. Now contrast this with his buddies he's traveling with. You of little faith. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. See, there's something in her response. There's something in what she said to Jesus that moved him. What was it that moved him? What about this caused him to proclaim her mega faith? I want to suggest to you a few things. There is power when you come to Jesus in humility. She realized her position and her unworthiness. There's power when you come to Jesus in brokenness. Have you been there? She's begging for mercy. There is power when you come to him with a heartfelt request, crying out. But most of all, there is power in her simple belief in Jesus. Now get this. Jesus has been constantly teaching, even miraculously demonstrating that he is the bread of life. The thousands of Jewish people that he fed didn't get it. Those who came looking for more signs didn't get it. Those who came looking and then they were offended by his teaching, you must eat my flesh, they didn't get it. Even his closest disciples could not grasp his lessons on bread. Out of all the people, this little foreign Gentile pagan, humble, broken woman and mother, she got it. She got this. If I can have just a crumb, that'll be enough. If I can have just a crumb, that'll be enough. Oh, Lord, increase our faith, increase our desire, our understanding. He is so wonderful, he's so magnificent, so powerful, so filling, so sufficient. If we can just have a crumb, a single crumb of him who is infinite. So this morning, Jesus still proclaims, I am the bread. I am what you need to truly live. I am what will fill you and sustain you. You're wandering in the wilderness, starving without me. And this little mother got it. Do you get it? Do I get it? If I can have just a crumb, one single crumb of Him who is infinite, that'll be enough. This morning, if you feel your heart moving, that is Jesus beckoning you to Himself. If you've never given yourself to Him, He's waiting with open arms. Pastor Jeremy is going to come up and lead us in Lord's Supper here in a moment. Jesus said, as He held the bread in His hands at the Lord's Supper, "This is my body broken for you." I hope we never look at the bread the same way ever again. One last thing. Have you noticed that when you eat bread, there are always crumbs? It's unavoidable. Let us feast on the bread of life, personally and together as His people. And the beautiful thing, the beautiful result will be a trail of crumbs to the cross for others to follow. Amen? Amen.